Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? You know, Tell Us Something is a lot of work. I'm just one guy, and I do everything from recruiting storytellers and coaching them on their stories, marketing to get butts in seats at the live events, producing and emceeing the live events, relationship building with the sponsors, editing and producing the podcast, and soon editing and producing the YouTube videos. I also manage the website, the social media accounts, and, well, all of the other office work that goes along with helping people get their stories heard. I need your help to be able to keep doing this. Go to tellussomething.org and click donate now. Your donation is tax deductible. You have the opportunity to help right now with the tax deductible donation. Go to tellussomething.org and click donate now. You will be directly supporting the important work of helping storytellers get their stories heard. Go to tellussomething.org and click donate now. Donate early and donate often. Please, the annual Tell Us Something online fundraising event. Please press pause right now. I'll wait for you. Thank you. This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on March 21st, 2017 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana. 8 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, Don't Look Back. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Brad Cederberg and is titled Regularity. Thanks for listening.
Growing up, my grandmother always stressed the importance of regularity. And I'm not talking about punctuality. I'm talking about bowel movement regularity. To grandma, having regular and healthy bowel movements was a sign of physical and mental health. And I have to say, growing up, I didn't disagree with her, and I still don't try to teach that to my boys. But in the summer of 2005, I learned that not only is it a sign of physical and mental health, but also can teach life lessons. It was 2005, and I was 23, and I was the coolest guy I knew. I was at the top of my world. Down at the bodega, they called me the prez because I'd been elected a student body president at the university here. I had the best job I could possibly think of, bartending at the depot, and it was still, I love that job. And I was dating a beautiful, intelligent sorority girl who would later become my wife. But I was about to be taught a lesson. As part of a student body president, I was invited on a trip to Israel. They were taking rural student leaders and teaching them about Israel and the conflict in the Middle East. And I remember we were doing conference calls and learning about this. And I remember less about the topics and about what we were learning about, another opportunity I passed up at that age to learn, and more about where I fit in the social network of the group of people. I wasn't going to be the smart guy because there were a lot of smart people there. I was never going to be the quiet guy, and so I decided that I was going to be the cool guy and try to keep that going. So as a cool guy, and this would be me sitting in the UC listening to a conference call with a pop collar and a faux hawk and cargo shorts and flip-flops, if you know that guy, and I should have known that a lesson was coming because I grew up in the 1980s and I've seen The Karate Kid and I've seen those movies, and I know that the cool guy at the beginning always gets it in the end. So we get on a long flight and we head to Tel Aviv, and I was able to display two of my cool guy talents, which I still have today, one of which is sleeping. That drives my wife crazy. I can do the wheels up to wheels down sleep on most flights, and also guts of steel, which will come up later. When we get to Tel Aviv, I was surprised. Another child of the 1980s, I thought it was going to be like Indiana Jones. I thought that there would be markets with wicker baskets and people in turbans and one of those guys with a big scimitar sword. But Tel Aviv is not like that at all. It's more like a cross between LA and Phoenix. It's a city by the ocean, kind of built up and grew up in the 50s like LA did, a lot of that similar kind of architecture and feel, but it's got the oppressive heat of Phoenix. The other thing that surprised me, which was really interesting, was the guns. Now, I wasn't that surprised that there were people with submachine guns and uniforms at Ben-Gurion Airport when we arrived, but what I was surprised about was people carrying firearms all over. People in plain clothes with what I guess were Uzis. I don't know names of a lot of guns, but I've been around Montana and I'm not uncomfortable around guns. But what I later came to find out was in Israel, you were required to perform military service. And for 2 years, usually between 18 and 19, you have to serve in the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF. And as part of that, you carry a weapon. It's not just to look cool or for intimidation. It's because one of the things we learned is that constantly there, wherever you're at, there's a small fear that there could be a suicide bomb or the building you're in could get hit by an RPG. I don't want to oversell it. They kept us very safe, but we were never without armed guards. And I had fun learning a little bit about the bars and culture of Tel Aviv, but what I brought to them was not any of this wonderful Montana heritage I have. It was Jaeger bombs. So those of you who are about my age maybe know that that's a mixture of Jaegermeister and Red Bull, which is awful for you. But that was the cultural gift that I gave to Tel Aviv. So after a few too many Jaeger bombs, I passed out in our rooms in Tel Aviv, and we woke up the next morning and we had a trip scheduled on a tour bus with no bathroom, which will also come up later. But we toured kind of a winding tour. We were headed up to Golan, which maybe you've heard Golan, the Golan Heights. It's an area kind of in the west of Israel that borders Syria that has been in conflict for thousands and thousands of years. But the interesting thing, one of the interesting things to me too, was how close all of these things were in what people call the Holy Land. I grew up going to Sunday school and remember thinking that the trip that Jesus and Mary took from Bethlehem to Jerusalem was just a long road trip. It's 3 miles. It's really interesting. I mean, it's funny, but that was interesting to me. And now I look back and I think of my wife who hiked the M when she was over nine months pregnant with our first son. And I think, darling, the Virgin Mary has nothing on you. So we go up this winding pass to this kibbutz in the Golan Heights. And if you're not familiar with what a kibbutz is, I think it's kind of a combination of a summer camp and a Hutterite colony. And bear with me. Because there's a religious center, and oftentimes in a kibbutz, you'll live off the land. People go there to refresh and learn, but also there'll be people that are on their spring break or people that are retirees that come to volunteer. And it was wonderful because after this hot, oppressive heat, we get up in the Golan. You can see Damascus in one direction. The other direction, you see these beautiful fields. This is, after all, the Fertile Crescent, the cradle of civilization. And I remember thinking as we were eating our farm-to-table dinner, first of all, the chicken tastes a little funny, but also that we had these wonderful vegetables and it was this kind of spiritual thing and there was a cool breeze and it was wonderful. So I go to bed and get one of those nights of sleep that you only get after you've had too much to drink the night before and wake up and feel like a new man. It's starting to get hot though, and not only temperature-wise out in the air, but like right here in this area. But remember, I've got guts of steel, so I kept it going. We get on the bus and we start to go down this winding road down from the Golan Heights. And it's a little bit like, I would say the same width and size as like going to the sun. But instead of the beautiful mountains of Glacier Park, you've got something that kind of looks like Joshua Tree National Forest. Kind of these weird, gnarled pine trees and desert. And my stomach is getting worse. And I start to sweat and the fauxhawk starts to droop just a little bit. And I start to kind of walk up to the front of the bus and I talk to our tour guide and I tell her, you know, I'm getting close, still keeping my cool. I'm getting close to needing to go to the bathroom. Can you, you know, next rest stop, can you pull over? And she points out the window and we look out the window and there's a yellow sign with a red triangle on it. And it had something written in Hebrew and Arabic and English. And it said, danger, minefield. So I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like this, but there are no rest stops in minefields. I said, okay. And I tried to keep my cool and I'm a little hunched because I know that if I move and something shifts inside me, then everything will shift inside me. I say, and I'm sweating now thinking about it. And I ate at El Cazador just now. So It was wonderful, and I feel fine. I feel fine. But I look at this tour guide and I say, look, I got to stop. And I looked at the trash can right next to the bus driver. And she gets the idea, and the bus driver speeds up, the bus lurches, and I almost crap. But I didn't. We get down to the edge of Bois, and I'm sitting there like this, unable to move, clenched in, like the middle third of my body is immobile. And I see the rest stop, and I get off the bus, and I run. And by run, I mean run as fast as you can without moving the middle third of your body. So I run, waddle as fast as I can, and I get to the rest stop, and right as I get to the door, I feel like a runner. You know, the runner's high when you're about to finish your marathon. I feel like I'm about to do this, and I'm about to evacuate. And someone says, stop. And I stop, and I reclench, and I look down, and there's a little Israeli man sitting next to me, and he's got his hand out with a little cup asking for change. And you've seen this if you've been in European cities that, you know, sometimes people will camp out and ask for money. I said no in slow motion and pushed this nice little Israeli man out of the way and ran into the bathroom and evacuated and unleashed everything. And I felt wonderful, except for when I thought about when I was going to have to go back on the bus. And when I did to get some change and go pay the man, nobody said a word. And I learned that day that the guy who thought he was the coolest guy in the world, looking back, was not the coolest guy because of what I had or who I was, but of how I treated other people. And I paid the man his change, and I thought grandma would be proud.
A fourth-generation Montanan, Brad Cederberg, was born and raised in Missoula. When he's not working with clients as a financial advisor, you might find Brad training for his next mountain bike race, brewing homemade beer, or hiking with his wife, Monica, sons Jack and Cormac, and their rescue dog, Mitch. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building and has become a destination for nationally touring musicians. TheWilma.com. CabinetParts.com. The number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. The Good Food Store. Supporting Western Montana farmers and ranchers for almost 50 years, the Good Food Store supports the local folks creating their own beer, salsa, baked goods, ice cream, and more. The Good Food Store is a passionate supporter of Missoula nonprofits, supporting multiple organizations, events, and fundraisers every year. Learn more at goodfoodstore.com. Missoula Broadcasting Company. Missoula Broadcasting Company is locally owned and operates four radio stations. The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM 105.9, playing what they want. U 104.5 FM, your at-work listening station. And ESPN 102.9, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, or mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He's at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Enlighten Lab Float Center. Enlighten Lab Float Center is a spa featuring sensory deprivation or floating as a wellness therapy. Unplug, reset, and recharge in their state-of-the-art float tanks. Learn more at EnlightenLab.com. That's EnlightenLab.com. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana, that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. For the most up-to-date information about Tell Us Something and upcoming events, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget about the annual Tell Us Something fundraiser going on right now. You can directly support the important work of helping storytellers get their stories heard at the live events, via the podcast, and at the YouTube channel. Help us out during the annual Tell Us Something online fundraising event going on right now through May 5th. Podcast listeners, donate now. Go to tellussomething.org to donate. Thank you so much.